Why is learning programming so unfriendly? Because you are not yet angry enough to write the software that everybody needs. There are some online codebin ideas like CodePen and JSBin and the P5JS editor, which comes with a great tutorial series. And they may be good for things like Hello World and some back-of-the-envelope experiments, but they are their own world. They cannot help you towards building and selling applications. Electron Fiddle is a desktop app that is somewhat interesting, but again, it is raw code that you have to enter into boxes, and there is no tools that help you along. There is a program called Alice for learning non-web programming, a language called Java, which is not related to JavaScript, and I would not recommend learning it. But it is a good example of a program that is more than code. Now, this is pretty much for kids, but the screenshot on the World Encyclopedia demonstrates what more than code means. It means a tree, and actions, and events that run actions, and a preview, and a non-code-based editor pane. Again, the program is for kids, but a really good starting point for thinking about an adult version. Alice is a visual programming language that generates Java. You need to build a visual programming language for mature adults that generates JavaScript. JavaScript is the language that is at least behind every user interface portion of all the web applications and web pages. But it is also a pretty good idea to write everything in JavaScript, and JavaScript does run on the server. This way, you can share code and don't have to worry about having two different programming languages to manage. Now, even though not entirely useful, CodePen and JSBin should serve as a foundation where you and your colleagues, or maybe your users, can build a program like Alice. And there's an alternative, a much smaller challenge and a pretty good start, and that would be Apple Automator Clone. There, programmers can program all the actions that your web automator would use. That is a nice start, very much resembling the editor pane of Alice, but you are still going to need something like a tree to finally lay out all the application requirements. There are basically three realms that you want to focus on. One, building user interface-based applications, which is a tree of nested UI components. Buttons here would basically trigger automator-like actions that operate on a data tree that the UI gets all of its information from. The data tree itself would be connected to a standard SQL database via an object relational mapper. So you're mapping objects to a relational database. This means that you just say, hey, accounts object has many user. Accounts has an ID field, and user has name, encrypted password, email, etc. And the object relational mapper will transform the objects into database tables, and you never have to worry about databases. You can also use the FileMaker MS Access trick, where you let your users move an imaginary cursor across records, such as lists of bookmarks, or lists of songs, or blog posts. The cursor idea singles out or selects a record to display on the screen. And here you can have things like a next or previous button, or create a custom button that upon some logic or trigger goes to a specific record, or have a search function, which is basically find bookmark or find blog post containing Alice. And once the user clicks on a match they found, that's where the cursor jumps next. So again, that record becomes active and selected, and you know what's going to be displayed on your screen. You can see what I mean about you getting really angry about all this. These are all just simple machines. It is stupid that beautiful little programs that manage such machines don't exist. It would be so fun and easy to create all kinds of apps. 2. Building state machines, where the tree represents program states, initializing, running, stopping. These states have an onChange state event, or onInitialize state, where you can attach actions. So as you direct the program to move through different states, it just takes care of its own business, running all the necessary little subroutines. And again, it waits for input, though now you don't really have a user interface. So maybe this is a state machine that represents a web server. It would wait for a user requesting a file, or a web page like homepage or contact form, or contact form submission data even. And again, trigger a list of actions, though it can't call actions from other states, such as initialize or shut down. The state machine also protects you from calling functions that are not available in the current state that the machine is in. State machines usually do a lot of work during initialize and start, and then shut down and clean up. So once your web server is running, you are just calling functions that handle requests. But those functions only exist when the web server is in running properly state. 3. Extract and transform data via streams. Not always to clean something up, sometimes just to show charts on a dashboard. A very good example of a stream is a video. In context of a video, we are receiving a stream of images or frames. This way, you don't have to get full video before watching, and it is streamed frame by frame. In fact, a quick way to sharpen a 3-second meme video on your hard disk is to convert it into sequentially named images, JPEGs, and then apply sharpen to all the images, and then again convert all the images back to a little video file. To be more efficient, you'd extract one frame, then sharpen it, and then append it to a new file, but you don't have to do it this way. These three ideas are extremely flexible. They are not at all standard anything, and it would be you who would program them in your own way. What makes these three special is that they accept a user interface pretty well. Managing trees is no different from managing folders on your hard drive, except here you have more things to move around. Maybe buttons for some form or menus for some window, and event emitters that make data signals go. Data signals are just variables that announce when they change. This can easily automatically update your UI when data changes. Normally, when you say A equals 2, B equals 2, C equals A plus B, as in 2 plus 2, means that the calculation happens and it stays that way. So when you change A or B to number 1, C does not update. The calculation is in the past. But with data signals, C can declare a dependency on A and B, and if either changes, then C will recalculate itself or rerun the addition. To create a visual tool for extracting and transforming data, you can use the box and cable user interface, where you have a box that represents a video connected by a line or a cable to a box that sharpens images, and that is connected to a box that adds frames to a video file. So the box that represents a video just sends out frames. The box that sharpens images only accepts images. It has no idea that there's a video somewhere. And finally, the box that adds frames to a video file again just accepts images, and it doesn't care what action they went through. So these are generic program components that help you create little transformation programs. Designing such applications and program tools, especially as a person who is new to programming, is nothing short of amazing and exceptionally precious. As you share your vision of the world of programming and expectations with many people who would become your customers. Every one of them has the same problem. Where do I start? Where do I put the code in? How do I publish to a web server? How do I build a desktop application? Solve this problem, and people will sign up with you. $1,005 per month customers, which you should view as advertising your system 10 times, will give you $5,000 a month. And because your tools are useful, your 1,000 customers will say great things about your product. Hey, look at the app I made. It only took a couple of days. And you will get new signups out of the deal. Learning programming, or learning functional knowledge for real, will absolutely ruin your GPA in high school, because you are not going to have the time to memorize noisy, disconnected facts that your teacher hopes to pass for real education so that they can get paid. Never mind that you are not getting a real education. To keep their job, they got to follow the rules, whether or not you are getting an education. And it does not matter, apparently, if fake education kills your creativity with stress. When I noticed I was getting bad grades no matter what I did, my teachers told me to get used to it, because life is not fair. No matter where you stand on this issue exactly, or where you are headed in life, you should not let anyone graduate you from high school until you know how to program computers. Programming is the very least a high school should teach. You should be working on visual programming and a great little startup idea that fixes problems that people have in your teens. Please, stop cramming and memorizing and pretending to understand, and find a voice within you to demand a real and effective education. Do not be scared that your teachers will ruin your GPA in your life. Cramming for a good GPA means that the GPA is already fake and meaningless. They are already ruining your life by coercing or forcing you to pretend to learn. There is no better time to act than when you are still in high school.